Good morning. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. Keep my microphone turned on there. I'm Brandon Peoples, and coming up here later this morning, we're going to hear from Robin Cole from Pawnee Mental Health. She's the executive director, but as we do each month, we'll start the program off talking with Dr. Timothy Schaefer, director of the Institute for Civic Discourse and Democracy and professor in the Department of Communication Studies. Good morning.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
Always a pleasure to have you on here, and I know you're probably super busy, but what do you got going on here as of late?
Well, it's been an interesting time. Earlier this week, actually, we were partnering the Institute for Civic Discourse and Democracy with the K-State Libraries. They had received a grant from the American Library Association for a project called Resilient Communities, and so. On Tuesday, I helped facilitate and convene a conversation with a number of people, some university-associated folks, also some people from the city, and as well as citizens who were and are really interested in questions around Wildcat Creek and how do we respond to some of the serious challenges that exist there. And you know, when we often talk about this idea of like civil discourse, right? In many ways, the way it kind of gets manifest is through the ability to have these kind of constructive conversations, or at least opening up those kind of opportunities for people. So on Tuesday, we had some representatives who gave some brief presentations. We also heard from one resident, for example, who lived in one of the apartment complexes that was flooded in the Labor Day 2018 flood. And it was just such a powerful moment to hear about, someone waking up, getting a knock on the door, being told they have 10 minutes to get out with a spouse and with a couple kids, and trying to get a car and find, important papers, records and driver's licenses and whatever else. And so it was a good opportunity. And I think it highlights why it's always very important for people when they see the opportunities to be parts of these kind of conversations, especially right now, right? Most of it's online, some kind of Zoom link or something like that, to where you can become a little bit more informed about what's going on. Because I, even as someone who kind of follows that topic, for example, some of the presentations and then some of the subsequent discussions in smaller groups were really enlightening to me. The perspectives, the experiences, the information, a lot of research has been going into this question about how do we mitigate against some of these situations in the future, and what are also the issues with that? Like, how difficult is it to think about some of those questions, right? And realize that a lot of our issues are complex, right? They're wicked problems. They're not technical in a lot of senses. There's technical aspects, but it's also kind of human in those ways that we have to think about kinds of trade-offs of cost and impact and kind of benefit, all those things. And so it was a really constructive, I think, wonderful conversation for me to be able to listen and to learn, and then for us, our institute, to help facilitate that. So yeah, that was earlier this week, and then and actually a little bit later. Today, I'm facilitating I'm presenting with the American Society for Association Executives. It's quite a mouthful. It's the Association of Associations around the country. So think about any organization, and some of the listeners might even fall into these kind of structures of the Timber Cutters Association, the Wyoming Dentists Association. You can think about anything like that, and their leaders are part of this kind of big umbrella group. And I'm actually speaking with them today, alongside the president of the American Psychological Association, and another person who is the head of one of those associations, around this idea of civil discourse. And why? Well, because the workplaces, whether it's in our particular workplace or in the kind of networks where we are connecting with other people, it's really important for us to be able to engage kind of constructively, and be able to surface issues and concerns but in a way that is not necessarily attacking or detrimental to individuals or the group. So, you know, these are a couple of the things. It's been a busy few weeks, to be honest, lots of different conversations with different groups. But I think it's all really important because underneath our kind of mission and purpose here at ICDD is to, think about how we have shared life together and how do we think about communication, better communication being the heart of that. And so really fortunate to talk about that with all sorts of different people.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Yeah. A lot of those businesses will probably, and groups will probably at some point be coming back and to in-person activities with their employees. And that may, create a whole new element of, communication, problems that people have, or maybe inabilities.
Yeah. I mean, so one of the really interesting things that's going on right now is some fascinating research, and it's just been intensified by the prolonged disconnect from people routinely, kind of in either cubicles or offices next door, down the hallway, is that we're going to have to basically re-socialize. We have become, again, not across the board, but for a lot of people, kind of separated in some significant ways. And so there's a certain routine. A lot of it's kind of the unspoken pieces, right? It's not the formal meetings. It's the break room conversations or the hallway interactions, things like that. This ability to kind of, figuring out again how to be with one another is really important. And why the workplace, for example, is so essential is that for a lot of aspects of our lives, we get to self-select where we want to be, who we want to be with. I mean, we get to kind of choose jobs in that way too, but it's a little bit different. Whereas, if I don't like being around certain people in a coffee shop, right? If that's a place that you go, you can leave, right? Or if you don't like a congregation, you can kind of go someplace else and join maybe a different faith community, for example. A workplace is a little bit different. And what we know from research in multiple fields is that the workplace is typically the most diverse in all of the ways that we would think about that word, the most diverse place that we show up and where we exist, right? We have socioeconomic kind of divisions, kind of up and down, and then kind of left and right, kind of ideologies. We have these kind of unique interactions. I think about where I am in a university setting, where we have people literally with the highest kind of credentials and expertise, if you want to think about it that way, some of the longest educational training to do the work that they do, all the way to those who are, and importantly so, right? This is why I absolutely love the university. The folks who come through checking the fire extinguishers and our kind of housekeeping staff and the people who represent this really broad spectrum. The workplace is this unique, fascinating spot where we can and do interact across all of those kinds of lines of difference. And we need to be able to do that, I think, better. So I'm looking forward to this group. Like I said, one of the other presenters is the president, Arthur Evans is his name, the president of the American Psychological Association, who has done, they've done a lot of work in the last number of years around people's perceptions, research around people's perceptions of kind of the climate that we're in, what are the challenges that we face from this more kind of psychological perspective. But it's all really fascinating, and I think we're in a unique moment and kind of experiment of sorts, right? What do we do when we basically tell a society to not be a society in the ways that we typically think about that? And we're on, in many ways, this cusp of returning to some of those things that we would kind of classify as more normal, and I guess we'll see what the repercussions are.
Yeah, absolutely. Dr. Schaefer joining us here on In Focus. We have a caller here. I think it's Robert. Go ahead, Robert.
Yes, I'm so glad that you are speaking to a psychology group. You know, the psychiatric group says that of five people, two of us are going to need some counseling this year. Well, there's five of us here around this microphone. Two of us will need some counseling. we don't realize that you don't have to be in a straitjacket to get psychological care. You know, it's one of the guys that went for some counseling said, "It's so wonderful. I should have done this 50 years ago." But we all, a guy thing, we try to avoid it. But even one of the girls that was raised in my house had a miscarriage overseas on a job assignment without her husband. And the kind of grief that she went through with that loss and without care, psychological care, even to this day, she's grieving about that. We need to be able to reach out as a society and get the kind of counseling that we might need in this economic time or a personal time where we need some care. Thank you for your efforts.
Yeah, good points there. Absolutely. And a lot of that is with social interaction and being able to open up to people.
Yeah, and I appreciate that, you know, the caller's comments about that, and I would, you know, I would agree in a lot of ways. And in fact, I was just one of the last things I read last night was that New Zealand actually has just approved the caller referenced you know, one particular situation, miscarriage, which we often kind of as a society don't really discuss, and New Zealand just approved a paid leave actually. After miscarriage, right, and I think it was three days, right, because they recognized the emotional kind of psychological intensity, you know. In a broader way, though, I think this, and I know you've had people like from Pawnee Mental Health and others talking about this on Keyman, that this window, however we want to think about it, is 2020 or, you know, even obviously longer than that. It's highlighted the intensity and the importance of thinking about kind of our more kind of holistic ways of viewing people and their issues and concerns, right? So it's kind of exacerbated by the intensity of the moment. But I do hope that, you know, there's this phrase of like, let's get back to normal. I don't think we go back. I think there's elements of kind of life pre-COVID before this time that we kind of adopt again, but it's this forward kind of progression, and I think we're going to be in a place to where hopefully we have maybe some greater awareness and kind of cognizance around people's needs at the individual and kind of collective level. Now, how do we think about the different layers of what makes a society civilized? And so when we talk about something like civil discourse, what makes it possible to have those kind of constructive conversations on a Tuesday afternoon, for example, with people about Wildcat Creek watershed, is that they're also not immediately concerned about their psychological, physical, economic well-being. And that's some of what we're seeing right now is some responses that are truly an emergent situation that we might, I think, rightfully ask, how do we normalize some of these efforts that we would say aren't necessary at this moment, but appropriately maybe should continue in some fashion.
Here we're speaking with Dr. Timothy Schaefer here on In Focus. Got to take a break, but we'll come back in just a moment, and we'll talk about another event coming up on Monday, called the Conversations on Race and Reconciliation. That's next here on In Focus.